888.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first. And on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Of what I call American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner, speaking to you on the 24th of May, 2005. Very, very interesting things going on. Pretty well set in stone at this point in time that I do the discount gold and silver trading hour at 3 to 4 p.m. Central on WBCQ and here, First Amendment Radio. That's 3 to 4 p.m. Central at WBCQ 7.415, at 7.415, WBCQ and First Amendment Radio at 3 to 4 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday and Thursday. That's 3 to 4 p.m. Central Time, Tuesday and Thursday, WBCQ 7.415. Then from 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time, WWCR 7.465. 7 to 8 p.m. Central Time, First Amendment Radio, WWCR 7.465, sponsored by Melody Cedarstrom. Both those broadcasts sponsored by Melody Cedarstrom, Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 800-375-4188. She's at this point in time the major sponsor of the network, First Amendment Radio, 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, WWCR 7.465, soon to move to, on June 1st, 9.985, 9.985, WWCR, June 1st, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, 7 p.m. Central Time, and then here at 9 o'clock Central Time on the Internet and Satellite, American Exposé, and certainly I use the word Discount Gold and Silver Trading, DGST, on the earlier two broadcasts, because certainly Melody is the primary supporter behind this, and I want to make sure you check out our website. On our website, AmericanExpose.com, very well done website, and very, very interesting information there as well. So keep this in mind as we move along, that this is very important that you support her and what she does. If we lose her support, well, you lose a lot in what I deliver, anyway. And certainly, I'm the major person documenting the dots that leads us to where we are, with Dennis and Darren doing the primary work on the website. Very, very good combination at this point in time. Extremely good directions. And I want to make sure you do this on a constant basis. Keep going to the website, AmericanExpose.com. You'll see Darren there. You'll see Dennis's information on a regular basis. And we connected the dot to the Miles Foundation Incorporated, which is fascinating, which is on the website, AmericanExpose.com, a new entry. And it's regarding guides for victims, survivors, and advocates regarding abuse in the military. And it's very, very interesting that we have these situations that have to be addressed by this website. Very interesting. Also in the paper, dated May 23rd, yesterday, out of Atlanta, representatives from the nation's top psychiatric group approved a statement Sunday urging legal recognition of gay marriage. Say, fella, I'm sick and tired of this. It's one of the communist goals. Present homosexuality as normal and healthy. That's a communist goal being implemented by psychiatrists and judges. If approved, the association's directors in July, the measure would make the American Psychiatric Association the first major medical group to take such a stance. And that's because of infiltration of communist ideologies and agents. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, we will have Hansa Molina back, and he will be on the WWCR 7 p.m. hour. He has lots of information, lots of connections, and he's been there. He was in the Air Force in the Czechoslovakia, defected to this country. He knows what he says, and we need to learn from him. So this statement supports same-sex marriage, quote, in the interest of maintaining and promoting mental health, end quote. Isn't that insane? Isn't that absolutely, totally insane? Well, that's the point. We live in insane times where right is wrong and wrong is right. But they say, the statement supports same-sex marriage, quote, in the interest of maintaining and promoting mental health. That's ludicrous. That's absolutely ludicrous. Representatives of the nation's top psychiatric group approved a statement Sunday urging legal recognition of gay marriage. If approved by the association's directors in July, the measure would make the American Psychiatric Association the first major medical group to take such a stance. The statement supports same-sex marriage, quote, in the interest of maintaining and promoting mental health. That is insane. And there is the point. Do we live in insane times? My goodness gracious me, listeners. We have our military overseas and another Vietnam, another Korea, another World War II, another World War I. All creations. We have a Congressional Medal of Honor, an upside-down five-pointed star, Lucifer's symbol, Satan's symbol, the upside-down five-pointed star, the highest medal for valor that anyone can receive for gallantry in the military. The Congressional Medal of Honor, an upside-down five-pointed star. Oh, I got to watch what I say here, because I'm losing it. I'm a little upset. I'm extremely upset because of the insanity of where we live today. It's just absolutely incredible. So we see, as our nation continues to mourn the loss of many citizens and prepare for the first war of the 21st century, And this is dated September 24th, 2001. We are writing with a reminder of a resource for those challenged by interpersonal violence perpetuated by our or upon military personnel. The Miles Foundation Incorporated, a private nonprofit organization providing comprehensive services to a special population, the military community, furnishing professional education and training into civilian community-based advocates and military personnel, conducting and supporting research, serving as a resource center for policymakers, advocates, scholars, researchers, journalists, and students, and serving to ensure that public policy is well-informed and constructive. The Miles Foundation was established a toll-free number for victims of interpersonal violence associated with the military. The advocacy helpline is staffed by counselors, paralegals, and associates or advocates 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The helpline recently trained 22 battered women counselors to serve in a network to aid domestic violence victims. The network is a result of the Training Institute Intimate Violence in the Military, sponsored by the Foundation in New London, Connecticut, during July 2001. So where would we go from here? According to Amy DePaul from Alternet, the new G.I. Jane's Damsel to Domatrix. A former Naval Academy instructor talks about the little-known experience of female soldiers in Iraq and the U.S. military, from serving in combat to interrogating captives. One of every seven U.S. soldiers in Iraq today is female. That's right. They say, according to this information, dated May 20th, 2005, one of every seven U.S. soldiers in Iraq today is female. While women are not officially assigned to combat duty, they are increasingly being drawn into dangerous conflicts. This week's debate in Congress over female soldiers in ground operations highlights the expanding role of women in the military. Serving in combat is one of many important changes for female soldiers in the current war, according to author Carol Burke, who has studied military culture and women's place in it. A professor at the University of California, Irvine, and a former faculty member of the U.S. Naval Academy, Burke wrote a book on the military last year, Camp All-American, Hanoi Jane and the High and Tight, Gender, Folklore, and Changing Military Culture, drew considerable attention for its examination of military hazing rituals. Some of the very same rituals, forming pyramids or being led on a leash, for example, were staged at Abu Ghraib, or Ghrib. In a recent interview, Burke discussed Abu Ghrib and the role of women there, as well as the little-known experiences of female soldiers in Iraq and the U.S. military. So what are the dominant images of women in this war so far, and how do the images contrast with reality? With Jessica Lynch, you have the damsel in distress, and the flip side is the dominatrix, which is Lindy England. Although those two pictures are spun to fulfill a host of stereotypes, what you actually have in this war is a group of real women in the military doing things that are quite significant. There's a whole group of women who, on the ground, not officially, the soldiers refer to as the lionesses of Iraq. These are women brought in when soldiers go house to house to make inquiries or to apprehend a suspected insurgent. What the female soldier does is quite the situation. It doesn't look like a gang rape is about to happen. Once again, it doesn't look like a gang rape is about to happen. The level of anxiety diminished slightly, so these women are being used more and more. Even though these women are not combatants, that is, they are excluded from the infantry, artillery, and armor, commanders are assessing risk, and as the risk abates, they are putting in these women to go along with combat units. These commanders are not engaged in social experiments or in equal opportunity. They're using female soldiers in this way because they're effective and because they need them. That's how military culture is transformed on the ground. So is the unpredictable nature of this conflict changing women's roles in the military. The female soldiers in Iraq are not like World War II whack and waves behind the scenes. The problem with this war is there really is no behind the scenes. They're being used more and more in what looks like regular combat missions. In this war of endless insurgency, women are certainly finding themselves under attack. Jessica Lynch wasn't a combatant. She was a member of the 507th Maintenance Company, a company that, in a conventional war with front lines, would have been a good deal removed from the ground war, not in the middle of it. Those in the military think the war they're fighting now is going to be the kind of war they'll be fighting in the future. For years, the Marine Corps has been training for this kind of war. And what are some other ways the Iraq War is redefining women in wartime? In the first Gulf War, the press was preoccupied with the departure photograph, the women leaving their children. It was the desire, not so much on the part of the Pentagon, but on the part of the media, to cast women as mothers who reluctantly were soldiers. But in the build-up to Operation Iraqi Freedom, you really didn't see that. I think there is a much greater acceptance of women going to war. What was always used as the argument against women in combat was America's perceived intolerance to women coming home in body bags. Well, flag-draped coffins, whether you've got a female or a male in them, are pretty much sorrowful events. And I don't think the women or the American public feels any more sorrow for someone's daughter than for someone's son. Each loss is incredibly profound. What else are female soldiers experiencing in this conflict in particular? Another story to be told about women in this current war is the number claiming they've been sexually assaulted and not by the Iraqis. That has been just appalling. Not only have they reported rapes, but the military has not been responsive to their reports. Some female soldiers who were raped even report the denial of appropriate medical attention. If the military is going to post signs in female field showers cautioning women for safety to have a battle buddy while showering at night, they should, at the very least, supply medics and inexpensive rape kits. In many cases, it's the same old problem of sexual assault in the military. Whether it's at the Air Force Academy or in the field in Iraq, a woman who reports sexual assault or sexual harassment is often sent back to work with or for the perpetrator and retaliated against by other members of the group. The organization that has done the most to gather information on these recent assaults, a pernicious kind of gender-friendly fire, is the Miles Foundation. They also keep the statistics on domestic violence and spousal abuse involving members of the military. They testified before Congress on this issue before Abu Ghraib broke last spring. Did Abu Ghraib document an emerging role for women in warfare, that of sexual predator? We now know that the infamous photo of Lindy England leading an Iraqi prisoner around on a leash was cropped and that other soldiers were part of the original scene. We also know that Private Charles Grainer, England's former boyfriend, captioned the photo with the quote, "This is what I make Lindy do," end quote. Like the Iraqi prisoners, England too was posed even as the Iraqis were being posed. And what's your take on the reports of women interrogating captives in Guantanamo? Reports allege that there was at least one woman interrogator who tried to sexually arouse or intimidate detainees. Released detainees reported that a woman smeared menstrual blood on the faces of conservative detainees for whom such a practice would ensure certain shame. What other changes are you seeing for women in the military? When I was at the Naval Academy, the top marksman for the entire brigade of midshipmen was a female English major. Okay, women are quite good at controlled marksmanship, but the Army won't make them snipers because snipers hold combat positions even though the Air National Guard has been sending women to sniper school since 2001. If you had women trained as snipers and allowed them to go out with a unit, you'll instantly have a hero. Everyone loves snipers because they get the guy who's about to get you. Consistently, when properly trained, military women have demonstrated their value. Is there resistance to the changing role of women in the military? The loud calls for women's restricted roles have come not from field commanders who have worked with women, but from civilian conservatives lobbying to keep women in their places. One such group to enjoy the favor of the current administration goes by the innocuous title of the Center for Military Readiness. Founded by Phyllis Schlafly, it exists to keep women out of combat. Once again, it exists to keep women out of combat. And how do male soldiers react to female military accomplishment or bravery? I recently had a group of Marines come to one of my classes. I asked about the women that they served with. They described most in stereotypical terms, except for one that described as really gung-ho. They spoke of her in glowing terms, but in order for her to be one of them, she had to separate herself from the other women. A study on peacekeepers in Kosovo that looked at women's role in the international forces found much the same thing. There's the denial of femininity in military culture anyway. It's the powerful culture in which the group rules. Who wouldn't want to have that kind of cohesion in the face of horrible possibilities? So women are thoroughly entrenched in the military? Yes, but the other question to ask is, are women transforming this hyper-masculine culture? I would say the jury's still out on that. Once again, this is an article by Amy DePaul, and she is a writer and college instructor who lives in Irvine, California. Her articles have appeared in the Washington Post and many other newspapers. So, all this is there on the website for you to behold. Dennis's current information, Tuesday, May 24, 2005. On Saturday the 21st, he was very, very busy. And I'm just at a stage where, where do I go from here? Because there's so much at this point in time. Very, very important to keep in mind as we're going to have Hanza Molina back tomorrow at 7 p.m. Central. Henry Bacall on March 13th, and certainly his website is savethemails.ca. He wrote that KGB generals have been given important positions in the Department of Homeland Security, run by Lenin lookalike Zionist Michael Chertoff. Once again, Henry Bacall, who's a Ph.D., I don't know what that means, is whether that's great or not, but this Michael Chertoff looks very similar to Lenin. How amazing is that? So last week, I, meaning Henry Bacall, wrote that KGB generals have been given important positions in the Department of Homeland Security run by Lenin lookalike Zionist Michael Chertoff. I, meaning Henry Bacall, described this development as the stealth communist takeover of the USA. Quote, stealth communist takeover of the USA, how better to do it than when everyone is thinking Muslims and our elected officials are too corrupt and compromised to protect us, end quote. We don't recognize that this has taken place because we think communism is an idealistic but discredited working class experiment tried mainly in Russia and China. This misconception has duped millions of unsuspecting socialists and liberals, including myself, Henry Bacall. As recently as 5 years ago, I was signing the praises of Canadian Maoist dupe Dr. Norman Bethune to my English lecture class. The Illuminati bankers created communism to harness the working class to their program of a comprehensive world dictatorship, now known as globalization. The Illuminati and communists are Masonic secret societies that celebrate the same anniversary, May 1st, 1776, and share the same satanic symbols. Keep in mind, it was just ironic that on May 1st, 2002, the whole big picture of Agenda 21 came to me after I finished my broadcast on Genesis Communications Network on May 1st. And it just dawned on me, all this has a source. And all this source is Agenda 21. And that's what everyone needs to research and talk about, is Agenda 21. I covered information from Darren's website by Nancy Levant. Fascinating information. I covered it 2 hours ago. So once again, Henry McCow states, the Illuminati bankers, and that's the Illuminati symbol on the back of the $1 bill, listeners, created communism to harness the working class to their program of a comprehensive world dictatorship, now known as globalization. The Illuminati and communists are Masonic secret societies that celebrate the same anniversary, May 1st, 1776, and share the same satanic symbols. The program took a giant step in 1913, Luciferian London-based bankers gained control over America's finances through the passage of the Federal Reserve Act. This gave them means and incentive to step up their covert war against humanity. The two world wars were the immediate result. Communism is a satanic movement devoted to human degradation and tyranny, not public ownership and social justice. Of course, no one would support it if they knew the truth. And there you have it. Many high-ranking former communists have risked their lives to alert their fellow Americans. One is Bella Dodd, whose shocking book, School of Darkness, which was reviewed 2 years ago by the author Henry McCow. She describes how communists morph into liberals, feminists, and socialists. And myriad other such groups, front groups, identifiable by the words international and peace, to divide and divert society. So when you hear the words international and peace, watch out. As I've said before, in The Return of My Father's House, 1972, Maurice Malkin provides more revelations. He was a leader of the American Communist Party, CPUSA, in the 1920s and 30s. And part of the Soviet Secret Service, the GPU. When he left the CPUSA, he testified before Congress and suffered a stabbing attack as a result. Malkin, a Jew, had been involved in the Bolshevik underground in Russia. His older brother Joseph, a devoted Marxist later killed by Stalin, taught him that by overthrowing the Tsar, workers could, quote, eliminate all injustices and create a heaven on earth, end quote. All problems were due to the, quote-unquote, class war. Quote, the capitalist bourgeoisie owned everything, yet the working class did all the work. The mission of the working class was to take through violence that roughly belonged to them. And this is where we're going to leave it. We'll continue on the other side. And keep in mind, Melody Cedarstrom, major supporter of this broadcast, American Exposé, the Discount Gold and Silver Trading Hour, Melody Cedarstrom, 800-375-4188.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773, and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Most Americans want our government to control our borders, especially since 9/11. But amazingly, some political leaders want to do away with borders entirely, whether the American people agree or not. And they have a serious plan for accomplishing their aims while deceiving the public. It's called the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA, a huge power grab. If Congress approves the FTAA, our nation will be pushed down the same path that produced the European Union. There will be no more illegal immigration because there will be no enforcement of borders. Americans will lose control of their destiny as regional bureaucrats from corrupt political systems decide our future. Sound incredible? Check out the facts for yourself. Go to stoptheftaa.org. Then tell Congress you want a better future for America. That's stoptheftaa.org.
That's 800-375-4188, the number for Melody Cedar Sherman Discount Gold and Silver Trading. Very important to support her, 800-375-4188. If we lose the support of her, well, you just won't have enough of me connecting the dots to this global communist system that's being implemented in America under the guise of communitarianism and the UN system. It's just the way it is. There's no denial of it. It's just we've been dumbed down to accept what we're told. Communism's dead. That's the biggest lie of all time. So, back to Henry Mikhail's information, Malkin, a Jew, had been involved in the Bolshevik underground in Russia. His older brother Joseph, a devoted Marxist later killed by Stalin, taught him that by overthrowing the Tsar, workers could, you quote, eliminate all injustices and create a heaven on earth, end quote. All problems were due to the class war. Quote, the capitalist bourgeoisie owned everything, yet the working class did all the work. The mission of the working class was to take through violence what rightly belonged to them. Only Marxism could relieve the human race of brutality, discrimination, and injustice, of hunger, poverty, and the drudgery that filled the lives of ordinary working people everywhere, end quote. Keep in mind that's going on today, the creation of poor people, the creation of refugees through weather modification, wars, HARP, environmental modification. Keep in mind Darren Weeks' research of a tsunami bomb being created in 1944. A tsunami bomb? Haha. And who's in charge of tsunami relief effort? William Jefferson Clinton, the next Secretary General of the United Nations, in my predicting direction. Malkin immigrated to New York and took his bogus religion of workers' heaven on earth with him. Lev Bronstein, or Leon Trotsky, a close family friend, taught him, quote, bullets, not ballots, would liberate the workers, end quote. His brother Joseph was one of the 150 to 175 mostly Jewish radicals who left for Russia with Trotsky in 1917 aboard the SS Christa Schofford. Banker Jacob Schiff bankrolled them. The ship was stopped in Halifax, and the occupants interned. Despite, or because of, Trotsky's public declaration that they were, quote, going home to Russia to dig the grave of capitalism, end quote, Woodrow Wilson intervened on their behalf. Rothschild agent Edward House controlled Wilson. The Illuminati bankers despised capitalism because it involves competition and market forces. It allows other people the opportunity to prosper. They favor monopoly or state capitalism and the abolition of private property because then they own or control everything. Of course, this is disguised as public ownership. Thus, for most of the last century, the United States has tolerated the legal existence of a party openly dedicated to the violent overthrow of the U.S. government and the enslavement of its people. This party, the CPUSA, that's the Communist Party USA, was founded and directed by a hostile foreign government. It engaged in industrial and military espionage, trained guerrilla units on American soil, forcibly took over unions, raided their treasuries and controlled whole industries. It slandered, harassed, and killed occupants, bribed police and judges, and infiltrated the military. Once again, bribing police and judges. Isn't that amazing? Yet, all the while, our highest elected officials defended it as a harmless, idealistic enterprise. Some of my best friends are communists, FDR famously said. Malkin reports that Adlai Stevenson, an assistant to Navy Secretary Knox, sabotaged efforts to curtail communist activities. Oh, boy, he was a snake in the grass, Adlai Stevenson. I remember hearing about him all the time when I was growing up from my parents. In 1956, Eisenhower, quote, liquidated all anti-subversive sections in the Immigration Department and halted deportation and prosecution of known alien communists. He stopped prosecutions of communists under the Smith Act, giving the party a chance to regroup and organize new mass fronts, end quote. The liberal media marginalized and ridiculed as right-wing fanatics, people who warned of the communist threat. To this day, people don't accept that the Rosenbergs were indeed Russian spies. The House Un-American Activities Committee is portrayed as a witch hunt. Communism is nothing but a sugar-coated goon squad for the Illuminati bankers. Malkin reports that the CPUSA even had a formal alliance with the Mafia, another Masonic sect. Moscow provided the Mafia with heroin to sell in the USA. The Mafia lent money to the Communist Party, provided muscle for taking over the labor movement, and disposed of enemies and members who woke up. One Communist leader, Juliet Stewart Pons, was kidnapped, killed at sea, and thrown overboard. The Mafia also distributed counterfeit U.S. dollars printed in Moscow. Following Stalin's example, American communists robbed banks, calling it expropriation. In his book, Left-Wing Communism, Volume 30, Lenin counseled, quote, communists were to be ready to cheat, lie, perjure, and do everything possible to gain their ends. End quote. Thus, when evidence of their skullduggery surfaced, it was little matter to denounce it as a forgery and smear the messenger. The Communist Party infiltrated the Negro Civil Rights Movement and got Ralph Abernathy and Martin Luther King to work with their Moscow-trained Negro mercenaries. W.E.B. Du Bois, actually it's W.E.B. Booboy, and Ralph Bunch were among their black frontmen but they hardly had any black followers. American Negroes were too patriotic. Quote, the Reds realized that the only way to weaken our country is by dividing it through anarchy and chaos, end quote, Malkin writes. They had more luck with women. The communist attitude to women is instructive since second wave feminism, communist in origin. Feminism is recycled class war adjusted for gender. There's where the family unit's breaking up, listeners. Feminism. Young female members were used on the waterfront to recruit sailors and longshoremen and bring them to party functions. Quote, girls would always be found in the communist summer camps doing the party's bidding, plus offering a little enjoyment on the side. The party believes that the only laws and morals are communist morals. Communists do not believe in family institutions or morals, everything is free, end quote. The communists had a department dedicated to, quote, the destruction of the morale of the American people by undermining their faith in their moral and social patterns, end quote. You can bet that something like this is behind same-sex marriage. And once again, listeners, as I intercede, Monday, May 23rd, from the Nation and World section of the Oklahoman, representatives of the nation's top psychiatric group approved a statement Sunday urging legal recognition of gay marriage. If approved by the association's directors in July, the measure would make the American Psychiatric Association the first major medical group to take such a stance. The statement supports same-sex marriage, quote, in the interest of maintaining and promoting mental health, end quote. Oh, where do I go regurgitate? Communist Goals, 1963, January 10th, Honorable A.S. Herlong, Jr., Extension of Remarks. Once again, number 26, prevent homosexuality, degeneracy, and promiscuity as normal, natural, healthy. Same-sex marriage. Sick. In conclusion, when Hitler and Stalin made a pact in 1939, Malkin realized there was little difference between the two and quit the party. He devoted the rest of his life to defending American institutions, working for the U.S. Department of Justice from 1948 to 1956. He realized blatantly that his religious father's condemnations of communism were correct, hence the title of his book. Although this book was published in 1972, the communist conspiracy is more active than ever. Conscious and unconscious agents abound, especially in lesbian, feminist, socialist, Zionist, and liberal circles. I have encountered them in academia, journalism, politics, and government. Once a lesbian running for the head of English department gave a long speech saying she believed in peace. What did this have to do with English literature? Apparently, literature today is more concerned with indoctrination. She was elected chair of the department. The New World Order is full of empty platitudes about peace, tolerance, and human rights. But in light of the New World Order's murderous communist and fascist pedigree, these platitudes are no more convincing than if Ted Bundy or Jeffrey Dahmer uttered them. Western elites, including the intelligentsia, suffer from a peculiar death wish. We would be slaves already were it not for the fact that ordinary Americans own firearms. This, the Internet, and the inherent self-destructiveness of evil are my main reasons for hope. And that's pretty well done. A great entry by Dennis. Henry Macau is the inventor of the board game Scruples and the author of A Long Way to Go for a Date. He received his Ph.D. in English Literature from the University of Toronto. And he certainly welcomes our feedback at henry@savethemails.ca. Oh, boy. And this is where we are today. Fred Schwarz, How many have heard of Fred Schwarz? In the Schwarz Report. Not exactly sure what the date of this is. He says, in order to involve as many people as possible, the communists organized large numbers of fronts, each of them designed to exploit the self-interest of a given group. Some of these are local and temporary, simple in formation and outline, and designed to exploit some local situation to the full. Others are on a worldwide scale with vast, permanent apparatus working year after year throughout the world. Whether large or small, the purpose of these fronts is to recruit well-meaning people to serve unconsciously the communist conspiracy. Now, let me grab this once again. As it's the most important piece of documentation you're ever going to come across, as I've done this over and over again for the last month. Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841, Findings and Declaration of Fact. The Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. It constitutes an authoritarian dictatorship within a republic, demanding for itself the rights and privileges accorded to political parties, but denying to all others the liberties guaranteed by the Constitution. Unlike political parties, which evolve their policies and programs through public means, by the reconciliation of a wide variety of individual views, and submit these policies and programs to the electorate at large for approval or disapproval. The policies and programs of the Communist Party are secretly prescribed for it by the foreign leaders of the world communist movement. Its members have no part in determining its goals. Once again, its members have no part in determining its goals and are not permitted to voice dissent to party objectives. Unlike members of political parties, members of the Communist Party are recruited for indoctrination with respect to its objectives and methods, and are organized, instructed, and disciplined to carry out into action slavishly the assignments given them by their hierarchical chieftains. Unlike political parties, the Communist Party acknowledges no constitutional or statutory limitations upon its conduct or upon that of its members. The Communist Party is relatively small numerically and gives scant indication of capacity ever to attain its ends by lawful political means. The peril inherent in its operation arises not from its members. The peril inherent in its operation arises not from its numbers, but from its failure to acknowledge any limitation to the nature of its activities, and its dedication to the proposition that the present constitutional government of the United States ultimately must be brought to ruin by any available means, including resort to force and violence. Holding that doctrine, its role as the agency of a hostile foreign power renders its existence a clear, present, and continuing danger to the security of the United States. It is the means whereby individuals are seduced into the service of the world communist movement, trained to do its bidding, and directed and controlled in the conspiratorial performance of their revolutionary services. Therefore, the Communist Party should be outlawed. From the U.S. Code, Title 50, Chapter 23, Subchapter Roman Numeral 4, Section 841, the Congress finds and declares that the Communist Party of the United States, although purportedly a political party, is in fact an instrumentality of a conspiracy to overthrow the government of the United States. How much more clear does it have to be, listeners? We have 40 chapters of Agenda 21, 13 years of implementation, and most people don't even know what it is. Has the communist movement done its homework well? Back to Fred Schwarz. The following experience illustrates rather well a simple communist method of operation. After addressing a civic club one noon, I visited the communist bookstore in Berkeley, California. It was called the 20th Century Bookstore, and at the time was located outside the gate of the University of California. With me was a minister who was very well informed on the subject of communist techniques. One entire window of the store was given over to a display of booklets prepared by the communists on behalf of a black called Wells, a Negro called Wells. While serving a life sentence in San Quentin prison, Wells had thrown a cuspidor in the face of his guard and had smashed his face. Under California law, the prisoner serving a life sentence who uses violence against a guard is customarily condemned to death. The death sentence had been passed. Many people thought that the sentence was excessive. The communists saw in the situation a social force, an emotion common to a group of people which could be exploited for the communist purpose. They set out to stir up agitation on behalf of Wells. After some months of agitation, they had prepared a book of some 80 or 90 pages showing what they had allegedly done on Wells' behalf. The book did not help Wells very much, but it presented the Communist Party in a very benign and humane light. The minister who was with me took the book and started to browse through it. He glanced through the Legal Committee for Justice for Wells when he was startled to find there the name of a friend of his, the minister in which church I was to speak that evening. He said, quote, take this book out to him, tell him where you found it, and see what he has to say, end quote. That evening we had a fine meeting. The minister was intelligent and patriotic. He was a fervent Christian and apparently informed anti-communist. Visiting after the meeting, I produced the book and told him where I had found it, opened it, and showed him his name. His face fell. He said, fancy they're doing that. Quote, fancy they're doing that, end quote. Quote, how did you come to get mixed up with this, end quote, I asked. Quote, I didn't sign that the sentence had changed, end quote, he replied. Quote, but only that it be reviewed, end quote. Quote, no you didn't, end quote, I said. And I read him the letter to which his signature was attached. Quote, how did you become involved in it, end quote. He said, quote, a man said to me that here we had an example of cruelty and barbarity, and that as the Christian ministry was the servant of the forgiving and loving Christ, surely it was their duty to protest against the cruel, barbarous treatment of this man. If they did not protest, who would? He gave me the names of other ministers who were associated with this protest, and I thought it would not do any harm if I let my name go in too, end quote. So, what was the man's name, I asked. He didn't tell me his name, was the reply. What did he look like? I didn't see him. How did he get in touch with you? He called me on the phone. Do you mean to tell me, I said, quote, that a man called you on the phone and without knowing who he was or what he represented, you allowed your name to go into an organization of this nature? Do you know what will happen? The Attorney General's Department, the House and Un-American Activities Committee, or some official investigative agency will classify the movement as a communist front. Somebody will then observe your name, and you will be classified as a supporter of communist fronts. What is more, the truth is that you are supporting a communist front. You did not do so willingly, but you have been outsmarted. They have exploited your basic Christian compassion for their purpose, end quote. This, listeners, according to Fred Schwarz, is a regular communist method of operating. Anybody not specifically informed about their methods could have been trapped in a similar fashion. It has happened to thousands. J.P. Matthews made the statement that 7,000 Protestant ministers in the United States had been involved in the communist apparatus by allowing their names to be associated with some communist front. The statement was met with indignant and angry protest, and treat it as an attack on the Protestant ministry. There were a few honest ministers, such as Daniel Pauling of New York, who humbly and courageously acknowledged the truth. Daniel Pauling said, quote, as one of the 7,000, I think the figure is far too low, end quote. The principles according to which a communist front is organized can be best understood in terms of a series of concentric circles. In the center is the Communist Party, a small group whose members are organized, disciplined, and dedicated, which has a single mind, will, and purpose. This party is composed of both open communists such as William Z. Foster, chairman of the American Communist Party, and crypto or hidden communists, people who deny their communist association and affiliation, but who are nevertheless dedicated communists. The Communist Party is never entirely above ground. Clear rules to this effect were laid down in the bylaws of the Comintern, where it is stated that in countries where a Communist Party is allowed legal existence, the legal party must be under the control of the legal, or must be under control of the illegal party. The controlling segment of the party is always underground. We're basically out of time, but you get the picture. The United Nations system is enveloped with communism. The United Nations system was set up by the Soviet Union with Alger Hiss and others. John Foster Dulles, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. All a set-up scenario that we live today. What were we fighting against in Korea? Communism. What were we fighting against in Vietnam? Communism. What do we have 90 miles off the shore of Florida? Communism. What do we have in Mexico? Communism. Go to the website, AmericanExpose.com, and you will find out. Thanks to Dennis's research, communism is alive and well in Mexico. And there is the direction. It's under Saturday's logs. Absolutely incredible, people. Communism alive and well below the border as we are having this illegal immigration battle, which is totally bogus. Illegal immigration advocates, totally bogus. Frosty Woolrich, totally bogus. It's the UN system, listeners. It's a State Department implementation of the U.S. mission to the United Nations. That's what it is. And nobody can deny me my truth, because that is the bottom line, and that's what you need to be researching. That's what you need to be getting the word out about. It is your responsibility. It is your country. And it is going down the drain. Thank you for Dennis and Darren and their research. Without their help, this would be a very, very difficult task to do at this point in time. Good night, and God bless all of you. Until tomorrow at 7 o'clock Central Time, God bless us all.
This is Nicholas from Presence of God Ministry. Are you a believer that is looking for a way to understand Bible prophecy as it pertains to historic as well as current events? Do you believe a one-world government is predicted in the Bible to occur in our day? Do you want to know what the Bible says about the